It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Yes, we do look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. You should be able to persuade them with good arguments. And we're going to be looking at all these issues as freedom versus force. We have another great show planned for you today. Jam-packed, fasten your seatbelts. In studio with me is Lauren Levy. He is he owns Polygon Financial Group. It is a mortgage, you're a mortgage specialist, and you work with a lot of different lenders, and you have been busy, Lauren Levy.
That's right. As a mortgage broker, I have a lot of different lenders that I work with, and everyone knows at this point, hopefully, where rates are and how great they are and what an opportunity this is for folks to save money on a monthly basis or take money out to do home repairs, whatever it is. It's an unbelievable opportunity, so it has been busy.
Okay, and people can refinance right now. We don't know for sure what is happening with the contested presidential election, what's going on there. But if, in fact, we would end up with a Biden-Harris, Harris-Biden at the helm, people will look back and say, I wish I would have done a refinance with Lauren Levy back in 2020. You know it?
Yeah, it's a possibility. The unknown is definitely there. And so I would take advantage of these opportunities right now.
And people can reach you at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Thank you for being in studio.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And we'll be talking with Patty Kurgan here in just a moment. She is the researcher for the show. She's an author. She is a co-author. She contributed a chapter to the book of Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Hard Left Turn and Why America, and A Warning to America. A second segment, Teresa Watson is the Boulder County GOP chair. We'll talk about some of the election oddities in Boulder County. They say that Colorado is the gold standard. Well, let's find out if that's really the truth. And then in the third and fourth segment, Colorado Representative Mark Baisley, he is the newly elected Republican Study Committee of Colorado chair, and he is represents House District 39. We'll ask him what happened in this most recent legislative session. And always like to say thank you to the great people that I get to work with, and that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to each of you listeners, you're treasured, you're valued. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And a special hello out to Bob in Michigan, who I know is listening, and just let you know that you are in my thoughts and prayers. Our quote for today is from John Locke. He was an English philosopher and physician, widely regarded as one of the most influential of the Enlightenment thinkers, and commonly known as the father of liberalism. And that would be classic liberalism, not the liberalism that we are looking at in this radical activist liberalism in America, but classical liberalism. He's considered one of the first of the British empiricists, following the tradition of Sir Francis Bacon, who we talked about yesterday, producer Steve. And Locke is equally important to the social contract theory. He was born in 1632. He died in 1704. And again, I was looking for quotes on fortitude. He said, "Fortitude is the guard and support of the other virtues." Again, Steve, back there, 1632 to 1704.
Well, I got to confess, I got hung up on that one when I first read it this morning. So in terms of, you know, would you call him the father of liberalism?
Uh-huh.
And I looked at it, it's like, this Kim Munson put this in there? So I'm glad you made that distinction, because I was a little...
Yes, the liberalism that was really... The foundation of the American idea is called classic liberalism.
Ah.
And once again, we did a podcast yesterday with Stephen Peck, and we talk about the battle for language. And many times the activist far left has taken words And they have hijacked them, and liberalism is one of those words.
We call that the narrative, right?
We call that the narrative, yeah. That's for sure.
And that's not always a good thing, because there's too many people who will take that narrative and take it to the bank without thinking for themselves.
Yes, that is true. That is why we do this show, so that you can get your brain around these issues. You can talk with your friends, your family, and your colleagues about these things. Americans have always thought about big ideas. And what has happened here is, I think people have just been so bombarded with so many different things that in some ways they kind of shut down. But let's get our thinking caps on, and let's ask those questions that Rudyard Kipling asked. And that's who, what, why, where, when, who. Ask those questions. Somebody that asks those questions is our researcher, and that is Patty Kergan. And she is keeping us updated on what is happening in each of the battleground states. Patty Kergan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
Things are happening rapidly, yes?
Yes. So in Pennsylvania, unfortunately, the U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday rejected a request for the injunctive relief file. I can talk this morning.
It's Monday morning. Or Wednesday morning.
Wednesday, it's hump day. Relief filed by Pennsylvania lawmakers and candidates contesting the election results in the Commonwealth. This is reported by the Epoch Times. And in the order, the nation's top court denied the emergency application for injunctive relief that asked the court to block the state from taking further steps to certify the 2020 election results. The justices did not provide any comments, and there were no noted dissents.
Interesting.
However, the court also did not address the request to review the case in its order. The plaintiffs had asked the court to treat their application for injunctive relief as a petition for a writ of certiorari, which is a request to the court to review the lower court decision on its merit. So this case may still be open. It doesn't sound as though it's completely shut.
It almost makes sense, Patty, if they didn't give any opinion and there was no argument. It's like, why waste time on that? So I think you're right. There may be something positive in there. We'll find out.
Time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the big surprise yesterday from a state that we have not yet even discussed or was on our radar was Texas. And the state of Texas yesterday filed an election lawsuit in the U.S. Supreme Court against Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin, alleging that the states unconstitutionally changed election laws, treated voters unequally, and triggered significant voting irregularities by relaxing ballot integrity measures. This is reported in the Epoch Times by Ivan
Pinchukov, and we had him on Monday.
On Monday, mm-hmm. Correct. The article continues, quote, "Trust in the integrity of our election processes is sacrosanct and binds our citizenry and the states in this union together," unquote. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said in a statement. The states violated statutes enacted by their duly elected legislators, thereby violating the Constitution. By ignoring both state and federal law, these states have not only tainted the integrity of their own citizens' votes, which we've been talking about consistently, Kim, but of Texas and every other state that held lawful elections. Their failure to abide by the rule of law casts a dark shadow of doubt over the outcomes of the entire election. We now ask that the Supreme Court step in to correct this egregious error. Of course, the Attorney General from the defendant states disputed the claims in the lawsuit. It's interesting because there are other states now that are reported who want to join in. This includes Arkansas, Alabama, South Dakota, South Carolina, Florida, Kentucky, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Oklahoma.
Patty, I didn't see this coming. You and I were talking about this yesterday, and Ted Cruz has said that he would actually argue the case. And I was thinking about this. Ted Cruz ran for president.
Hold on, Kim.
Oh, go ahead.
The case that he said that he would argue was the Pennsylvania case.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
Not on this case.
It was
the Philadelphia case.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. What I was going to say, though, is from a political standpoint, when they were running for president, Donald Trump came, really hard at all of the other candidates, Ted Cruz included. And I'm really I have a lot of respect for Cruz that he's going to step forward and try to protect this election. I think that's pretty great.
Oh, I agree 100%. What's really interesting is there's a House of Representatives race that's still being counted in New York. And it's an undecided race. They just found recently like 67 ballots sitting in a election office. You know, these ballots just keep coming up. And some of them, though, are actually people who have died. And when you talk about the integrity of the election, we have to clean up these voter rolls. And it's very, I saw this come across the headlines yesterday. And it just, you scratch your head. So there's a Texas rep, his name is Babin, and he came out and he introduced a bill. And the bill is, you must be alive to vote. How ridiculous is that, that we have to have a representative in Congress vote on a bill like that?
That's going to be really interesting to see if it actually makes it to a vote. And you would think that, first of all, it should. And second of all, that it should pass unanimously. That is pretty brilliant from a political standpoint.
It is. And we'll watch that one. And then real quick, in Michigan, again, through the Epoch Times, a lawmaker is leading the investigation into the 2020 election, and he threatened Dominion voting systems. The CEO, he must show up to a hearing. They're hoping that he'll do it voluntarily, and if not, they are going to subpoena him. And it's interesting because here, they're one of their corporate headquarters is supposed to be here in Denver. It's over there by the spaghetti factory around 17th and Market. It's empty. They're gone. Mm. And if we remember correctly, it wasn't too long ago, I think about a month and a half ago, they were supposed to show up for a hearing in Congress. And initially they said that they were going to show up and they were a no-show. It makes you wonder, where are they? What are they hiding? This is very important that they come forth.
And Patty, what you've said, this is not about Biden and Trump. This is about the integrity of our elections. This is about the American idea. And you've mentioned it many times that it seems that the Biden camp, the Biden-Harris camp, would also want to make sure that we have election integrity. And I think that's a really interesting point that you continue to talk about.
Yes, it's so important. And people continually say, oh, Republicans disenfranchise the vote of, you know, fill in the blank.
The dead. Just had to say that.
The fact of the matter is, we disenfranchise, as the Texas lawsuit is bringing up, all votes, all legal votes, if we don't find out and verify whether or not these allegations of irregularity voting and fraud exist. Our votes are canceled out.
You've absolutely nailed it. And I was talking with someone just yesterday, and he said his mother said that if, in fact, we don't get to election integrity, that she's never going to vote again. Because if, in fact, then she votes, it actually gives cover for all of this stuff that is going on. And I thought, oh, that is very interesting. Patty, I so appreciate the research that you do and the way you are staying on top of this. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
Sounds great. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Before we go to break, one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. It's on 85, which is in between. It's on Santa Fe as you're going in between kind of the metro area and Castle Rock, although I guess they're all part of the metro area. But Sedalia is such a great little town. It's just a little taste of Americana. And I would recommend to go out and do some Christmas shopping at Castlegate Knife and Tool. They have knives for collectors, for the sportsmen, kitchen sets, just those utility knives that you might need around home. If you want to get a gift and have it engraved, you can do that. And they just updated their website with all of the inventory. Go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. In studio with me is another one of my great partners, and that is Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. We'll be back with Lauren. And then Teresa Watson, who is the chair of the Boulder County GOP, will be talking about some oddities that happened in the voting or election up in Boulder County. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Merry Christmas. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And while you're at the website, be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent podcast, and our most recent op-eds. In studio with me is another one of my great partners, and that is Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. You've been very busy, Lauren Levy.
That is very true. I have been.
Because there's opportunity.
That's right. Rates are as low as they've ever, well, they say 50-year lows. I guess you could probably say that's the lowest they've ever been. And people are taking advantage of it, which is a really smart thing to be doing right now.
So refinancing, buying a new home. I know you do reverse mortgages as well. People can reach you at 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881. Lauren, we had Patty Kurgan on just in the segment before, talking about the different battleground states. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, you and I briefly talked off air. I discussed these issues with my kids. I have two teenage kids about just who are of age or becoming of age of voting. And I think the worst thing that can happen with all these irregularities is people get a malaise feeling or feel like their vote just doesn't count. Mm-hmm. And that would be a terrible thing to have elections decided because people just didn't feel like going to vote or
because
filling out the ballot
because
they feel like their vote doesn't matter because it's rigged or it's fixed or something is working against them no matter who they vote for. It would be terrible if people just felt that way. It would totally undermine our whole,
the whole American idea.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, let's talk to Therese Watson. She's the chair of the Boulder County GOP, and I know that she is working diligently on your vote integrity. Therese, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Glad to be here.
We talked with you last week, and you said that, I think that, is it Colorado or Boulder County? We're supposed to be the quote-unquote gold standard in mail-in ballot. Do I have that correct?
Yes, statewide and Boulder County, yes.
But as you've really looked at it, even though we've got the title, there were some oddities that have you concerned.
Yes, very much. One big issue is the chain of custody processes of our ballots, and directly connected to the military ballots that come in through the electronically. Those are called UOCAVA ballots. That's a big issue. I feel like the chain of custody is missing parts of that.
And explain chain of custody. What does that mean exactly?
What that means is that you've always got more than one set of eyes on each and every ballot that comes in. And if you don't have eyes on them, then you have them locked up in boxes that two judges or two bipartisan team members have locked up together. So it's always, every single ballot is protected.
That is very important. We've seen different stories throughout the country of chain of custody questions as well. But you felt that there were chain of custody questions there in Boulder County.
Yep. With the UOCAVA, even with the in-person ballots, I discovered that once they all come in from the vote centers and they come to the main ballot processing center, they get audited by a bipartisan team, and then they are put in an unlocked box and they sit and wait for them to be scanned. Now that box is put into a locked room, but the box isn't locked. Why would you have vulnerable ballot.
Okay, that does make that vulnerable. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, and that chain of custody is very important, and that is one of the things with mail-in ballots that I think that there is a opportunity for shenanigans. So the chain of custody is super important. What's another oddity that you've seen up there in Boulder County?
Well, we've seen the Dominion glitches. So we have Dominion here. And in the spring, we saw the machines right in front of our eyes of our, and I'm talking about the eyes of our signature verification judges. They all sit in front of computers with the ballot scanned of the signature of each, not the ballot, but the ballot envelope of each scanned ballot that comes in. And right in front of our eyes, we would see changes. Like the machine would just have a glitch and the signature verification judge's decisions would be just flipped and changed.
Okay,
so we brought it to the attention.
So explain to us, this is going through signature verification and the judges would have a question, but yet that would be overridden, or explain that. What happened exactly?
So judges decide whether the signature on the envelope of the ballot is a good signature. It matches what's in the system, or they decide that it's discrepant and it needs further
review.
Having a review, mm-hmm. Correct. And we would be in the program and we would see the signature discrepant changes. Something would be considered discrepant, and all of a sudden the machine would call it good.
And so what did you do about it?
Well, we take it to the supervisors and we ask what the problems are. The Boulder IT person that was on site couldn't explain it.
Was it remedied?
In fact, they couldn't explain it so much that in March they decided that was the problem in March. And in June, they stopped using that system and they went to hand visual, where each envelope was in your hand instead of a signature on a machine.
What happened for the presidential, for this November election?
Some reason we went back to the computerized signature verification, and we had judges noticing again big changes in discrepant signatures, and
Teresa, I was talking with some friends of mine up in Boulder who served as signature verification there in Boulder County, and they said that they actually were told that they were challenging too many signatures and that they needed to be, I'm going to use the word quota, that under a certain quota. And I find that absolutely astounding, Teresa.
Right, because you don't know what batch of you're going to get. So usually the judges will get a batch of like 150 signatures to evaluate. And you don't know how many in there are going to be good or bad.
Right.
And so, to have a quota on them, and Boulder's always been the, you know, gold standard of that, too. In fact, our average rejection rate is way lower than the state average.
I'm not sure that's something to be proud of, Teresa Watson. Let's go.
Tim, if your goal is happy voters, as our county clerk's goal is happy voters, then maybe that does fit in line.
Okay, well, I'm not sure I'm very happy about that. Give us a third example, Teresa Watson.
The other concern I have is with citizen oversight, and that we have had less and less of it, and our county clerk has purposefully and intentionally made it more difficult to have watchers around and citizens overseeing the election in all the areas and different throughout the election.
Okay, Teresa, if this interview has gotten people's blood pressure up, what should they do?
Well, I believe people need to get involved in and call their county clerks and ask questions. I believe that we have to make them responsible and to explain to us why these chain of custody issues are going on, what are the Dominion glitches, and what are the real audits that are going to be taking place for Dominion. If we know that Dominion's a problem, what is each county clerk doing to audit Dominion and the votes in their county?
Okay, so patriots out there today, you can make one phone call to your county clerk and ask those questions. We'd highly recommend that. Teresa Watson, thank you. You are doing amazing work up there in Boulder County, and I know that there's a lot of people up in Boulder County that are working to conserve the American idea, this vision that all of us are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Thank you for the work that you're doing.
You're welcome, Kim. Thanks for having me on today.
You bet. And Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. I know that your blood pressure is about the same all the time, and that is high, and probably mine is too. Did this help or hurt?
It's high and steady. Well, I tell you, I did call the Secretary of State a few weeks back, and I talked to a gal there. They actually did call back. A gal named Mary called back, and I was questioning, you know, these Dominion machines and what were they doing. And I could tell you they didn't want to say much. All she kept, well, we're on top of it. These other states don't aren't used to doing mail-in ballots like we are, and but not really answering the questions of what were they doing to look at the machines and what would they do if they found fraud. You know,
good for
very,
you.
Very prepared for the remarks and answered nothing.
Good for you. Do you have a next step on that, Jason?
Well, I guess I do not. I just wanted to call and make sure that they knew that...
we're watching, that we're concerned.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're aware, and I don't know if we're watching, just that we're aware and concerned. So I don't know if it did any good, but hey, I did somewhat of my civil duty.
Well, I think that I think that's really important. We have Lauren Levy in studio with us. We were talking about opportunities over in the mortgage arena. And Jason, you and I have been talking daily about the opportunity for a Roth IRA. It's called a Roth IRA, isn't it? Or is it a Roth account?
No, it's a Roth IRA.
Okay,
yes.
A Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. And we don't know for sure what's going to happen, but if we end up going into a Harris-Biden, Biden-Harris administration, people will look back at these low tax rates, and that, and you'd actually done an analysis of the Trump tax cuts and how it had benefited everyday hardworking people, and here Biden has looked into the camera and said he's going to repeal those. And if in fact, I mean, he will. And right now there is an opportunity that you could do some planning that could save some taxes for you.
Well, there certainly might be. And keep in mind, Kim, a Roth gives you more control and the government less control
like
of
it.
Your money.
I like it.
And right now, I mean, they're trying to control a great many things. The Roth gives you much more control over when you take the money out later down the road, and it also gives you control at the beginning of the road. If you have an emergency and you need to get money out, you can take a money out of a Roth to some degree, at least, with no tax, no penalty, no questions. And once you put your money in a traditional IRA, that will not happen in the under any circumstance until you're at least age 59 and a half. So there's a lot more control at the front end and the back end.
I like that. I would recommend that people sit down with you, Jason. Does this need to be done by the end of the year?
It doesn't have to be done by the end of the year. I mean, contribute or convert from traditional to Roth at any time. But a lot of people believe that perhaps this may be the last year that our tax rates are as low as they are right now. So you got to get while the getting's good sometimes.
That's for sure. I'd recommend people give you a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
You bet. We'll be right back. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is in studio with me, one of my great partners. And then we'll be talking with Colorado Representative Mark Baisley about this recent special legislative session. Stay tuned.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Merry Christmas to all of you. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is one of my great partners, and that is Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. He is a mortgage specialist. He's been very busy because there's a lot of opportunity right now with these rates low to lock in something that will save you money over a lot of years, Lauren Levy.
That is right. If you think about someone who will say maybe, oh, I'm only going to save $100 a month, well, that's $1,200 a year, potentially over a 30-year loan. That is what a lot of people earn in a year.
Yes. So I recommend that people give you a call. I know you're busy. You work with a number of different lenders so that you can really tailor something that works best for people. What about, we just talked with Teresa Watson, Boulder County GOP chair, about some, oddities up in Boulder County. What's your thoughts on that?
I found it fascinating because it's not something you hear about. You know, I hadn't heard that information before, but it just ties into the whole fact of, you would think public officials on either side of the aisle would want to ensure that their election results are unquestioned when they're over. And they would do everything possible to just make sure that whoever they announce as a winner cannot come back and be, you know, have a fight put against it, that it was done correctly and no one can argue that. And it's fascinating that they may not do it that way.
I totally agree. And I'm sure that somebody else that really believes in election integrity is Colorado Representative Mark Baisley. He represents House District 39. He is the newly elected chair of the Republican Study Committee of Colorado. Mark Baisley, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Kim. Excuse me. You're not the first person I've talked to this morning, but it sounds like it.
I know. The early morning, getting all the pipes working is always interesting, Mark. First of all, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do. And there was a special session last week, which I kind of find interesting because you guys will start the regular session here in about a month. But anyway, tell us what happened in this special session last week.
Sure. So this was an out-of-cycle session. We normally serve from early January to early May. 120 days is the regular session, so 4 months of ruining Coloradans' lives through legislation.
And took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah. But the governor has the authority to call us back in, and so we were called back in last week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and it was for the necessary purpose of allocating state funds towards COVID-19 emergency situation. And so he has the authority although it's a big wrestling match and there's a lot of opinions on it when it comes to spending the federal dollars that come in from Washington, D.C., but when it comes to spending those dollars directly taxed from the Colorado citizens, Colorado residents, then the legislature by constitution has to be consulted and approved. So he called us in to approve, primarily approve more funding to go to small businesses and so on during the this really. So
now just a question, this money that he is spending, where does that come from? And that's a rhetorical question. It comes from us. So he shuts down our businesses.
It was a trick question.
He shuts down these small businesses, and then he says, we'll dole out a little bit. I'm a little hot about it myself, Mark Baisley. Yeah. Instead of trying to dole out money to these small businesses, we need to get to yes. We need to figure out how to open them up.
So true. I recall just posting one big statement earlier this year that $3.3 billion is larger than $1.6 billion. And what I meant by that was he was getting in $1.6 billion from the federal government, and it seemed like a joyful moment to get all that money from Washington, but the revenue that has been reduced by shutting down Colorado businesses has gone down double that. And so it's a net loss, obviously. If you shut down our economy, then you'll bring in less tax revenue.
Mark, I also want to make a comment on this whole federal money thing, because when I was on city council, I voted against the Southeast Light Rail extension because it included $92 million of federal money from Obama's New Starts grant, where they were trying to put light rail into different metropolitan areas. And I went back to something that John Eastman had said. He's a professor, constitutional law. And that is, and they look under this, under the Common Welfare Clause, that this is good for people, and the way the General Welfare Clause reads, and this is what he said, is the General Welfare is a clause that something that benefits everybody, and that doesn't mean taking money from one person to give to another, but it's something that benefits everybody. So an example was that Congress had approved road funding for the Cumberland Gap, and the president at the time vetoed that because he said it only benefited the people of that particular area. But yet then they did approve funding for some lighthouses up and down the eastern seaboard, and they felt that made sense because that was commerce for everyone that benefited everybody, the general welfare. And the other point of this is bringing in this federal money. We're either borrowing it from other states or we're borrowing it from our next generation. And there isn't a big money tree there. They're printing money. And for us to look to them to bail us out, and I know a lot of these big blue states are looking to the federal government to bail them out of their bad decisions regarding COVID, is of great concern to me, Mark Baisley.
Yes. And so of all those dollars, so I kind of categorize how the bills that passed, the bills that lost, and all that, and we can talk about that as time allows. But this, we allocated about $230 million, and the allocation, of course, comes from the general revenue, so general fund, pulling out of our own pockets, income tax revenue, and so on, and then it's just being diverted from what its original intent was over to some new purpose. So there was not only a $230 million reallocation of money, but then also a reduction in tax revenue through new approvals to not lift taxation out of folks, and that's another $50 million of reduced. So kind of all told, about $280 million expense to the folk this past week.
Now, are you talking about the $2,000, is it on sales tax that small businesses are able to keep? Is that what that's for?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and let's see. Yes, that's specifically.
And I was thinking about that, and that I like the fact that they're out there doing business and they're able to keep some of the tax revenue that they've collected. But I'll tell you, Mark, $2,000 doesn't go very far for somebody that is just struggling and their capacities are cut down. I like the idea, but I really would prefer, again, that we figure out how to get to yes and get these businesses opened up.
No kidding. This emergency order, emergency disaster condition that was declared way back in March by the governor, at the time, it kind of made sense, and there was an overreach because we didn't know what this new virus is going to do to us. But remember, the goal was to flatten the curve. Mm-hmm. And the curve got flattened, like, almost immediately as doctors were being faced with this mysterious virus, and then they started figuring out how do we treat it. And so they're far better now, obviously. They're just Americans especially. We innovate, we get smart. So the curve was flattened. The extension of the emergency condition over and over and over, 10 times so far, is way beyond the original intent of the statute that gave the governor that authority. So there were several bills that were proposed during this. As you can imagine, we on the Republican side went in with several bills asking for the curtailment either of bringing the emergency order to an end was one of them.
Good for you.
Requiring that the governor cannot extend beyond 60 days. There were several of these, and putting a lot of conditions around it because the statute that gives him this authority was very sloppily written. It was sloppily written probably about 6 years ago, I believe, is when that passed. I think it was a 2014 bill. Anyway, and the way that the statute reads says he can declare the emergency for 30 days, and then he can extend it. How sloppy is that? It doesn't say he can extend it for one more 30-day period.
Right.
It just says he can extend it. So, but if you think original intent, why does it have a number of days in there in the first place? Well, it has a number of days in there because originally intent they were thinking was, hey, 30-day emergency, and then if he needs to extend it, then he can. But you wouldn't say he could extend it perpetually. Otherwise, they would have put 30 days in there in the first place.
Good
point.
So
what's happened is, and your frustration is so right on, Kim, the condition now is a perpetual state of emergency that has displaced our constitutional republic.
Mm. And so the Republicans presented this. I imagine that it didn't go very far.
Well, we presented 25 bills that failed. And there were about six of those were curtailments of the governor's authority and clarifying how long he can extend an emergency condition and that sort of thing. And all of those failed.
We need to remember this as we go to vote the next time. We need to get to voter integrity or vote election integrity for sure. But let's continue on. We have Mark Baisley on the line. He's Colorado State Representative. He represents House District 39, and he is the new chair of the Republican Study Committee here in Colorado and just really works to represent the people of Colorado instead of the government of Colorado. Mark Baisley, stay tuned. We'll be right back. We have Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group in studio. Stay tuned.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
here comes Santa Claus.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and sign up for my weekly newsletter there. And my friends, this is such a crazy time right now, and we need to be supporting our small businesses, our bars and our restaurants and our taverns and all these different small businesses. One of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants, and they have five locations right here in Colorado, and they are Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. They have beautiful patios. They've got fireplaces out there. I am finding carrying around a blanket is a good thing while we're dining outside in December. But they have all kinds of to-go specials. Be sure and go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com, and you can find all of that out there. In studio with me is Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, another great partner of mine. We have Mark Baisley, Representative Baisley, on the line. What's your thoughts? What's going on? I can see that you're thinking there, Lauren Levy.
Yeah, it's just interesting to listen to Mr. Baisley because you know, most of us get caught up in our day-to-day lives and things just keep moving along and you don't necessarily realize what's going on behind the scenes. So I was aware of the special session. I was aware that they were called back, but it's very interesting to hear on the inside what's going on in those conversations and the back and forth. And I just thank you, Mr. Baisley, for your service and your commitment to helping Coloradans. And it's very interesting to learn about this stuff.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah. And Mark Baisley, I think what Lauren said, people are so busy. I remember that they say, oh, I don't pay any attention to politics. And then I realized that politics pays a lot of attention to you. And I think everybody, Lauren, is realizing that now.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Mark Baisley, 25 bills the Republicans presented, some of them to curtail all of this overreach of government. Of course, they didn't go anywhere. But let's talk a little bit more. I know that one of the things that was voted on was $100 million for these health departments. I'm not real excited about giving an additional $100 million to bureaucrats that are making 100% of their salaries and getting their pensions and making decisions that are putting people out of business or reducing their income anywhere from 60 to 80%. What do you think?
You know, and thanks to also, Lauren, for your comments there. I'm just another one of the kids that happen to have the honor of expressing what you and I and Kim think, but on the playing field there. But in response to your question there, Kim, yeah, this is part of the frustration to me is the, I'm going to call it the arrogance, but the arrogance of government to where no one in government loses their job, yet the emergency requires that that private industry loses theirs. If I ran the world, it would be, in fact, I've written this up towards a bill, but I haven't even thought to propose it because in the current condition it would go nowhere, but that would be that the entire $33 billion annual Colorado state budget would be reallocated out to the world first to compensate for shutdowns before being spent on government state government services. But when they choose the winners and losers of what's essential and what's not essential, all of state government is immediately and automatically essential. It makes zero sense to me, but it's also just the frustration levels that makes your blood boil. Why would that organization, why are they so automatically essential? And it's just it's an attitude of arrogance. The extra frustration is what I just said. I would propose a bill that would require that we start transferring all state revenue back out to the to compensate for businesses that are being shut down, if that were the case. But it would go nowhere because we the Republicans, we the conservative side of the aisle, do not control the House nor the Senate nor the governor's mansion. So what we're just in this total blue predicament right now. I am hopeful, prayerful that changes in 2 years. But right now, it's we can just almost go nowhere. And everything they want to pass will pass.
It will. And Mark Baisley, as I'm looking at, this was from, let me see here, the Center Square that Patty had found, which is a synopsis of what happened at this legislative session. And A couple of things. First of all, one of the bills that passed, and how many bills did pass, Mark Baisley? How many? Was it nine or ten?
Ten passed. 3 are yet to be signed by the governor, but yeah, 10 passed. He'll probably sign those with 3.
Okay. First one, there was legislation which allows local governments to limit food delivery fees from third-party services. And actually, I don't think that that's government's proper role. If, in fact, those delivery fees get exorbitant, people will quit using that, and then that would mean that the market will adjust. And I don't think that that is the proper role of government. What's your thoughts, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. And what our side argued on that, I'm trying to think who exactly argued that. I want to give credit. I think it was Representative Sain from Weld County. But anyway, we argued against that in that the immediate effect is going to be that delivery services will stop delivering areas where they see that they're going to start losing money because they can't charge fees that will cover. So, yeah, this is that unnatural injection of government into the free economy, and that never works. We're based, as you know, on our Declaration of Independence on the laws of nature and of nature's God, natural law. And when the government steps in, it's no longer natural, and the market does not behave naturally. So, yeah, it will affect service.
Excellent point. So when government steps in, the price goes up, but actually the quality and supply goes down, and people forget that. Yeah. Three other ones, Mark Baisley, that I am, again, very frustrated with, because government will choose who gets this and who doesn't. And that is $5 million for food pantry grants. A bill create. I think we'll just go through each of those. Food pantry grants. We don't want people to starve. We know people are hurting, but actually, a lot of these people that are having to go to these pantries, they would much prefer to work. I was over at an office building the other day that used to be just robust, and there was a great little food service. Right there in the lobby, and they were always hopping, busy, people sitting there. It's closed down. I'm thinking, where are those people that were working there? They would much rather be working than standing in line at a food pantry.
Yes. And so some of the nature of some of these, there's an energy utility bill payment assistance, as you just described, food pantry assistance grant program, and that's really an extension of what's exists already. Then there's some directed industries. So there's money going to child care sector. And there's the one that's yet to be signed, but I'm certain that it will. Listen to the title. This will pass in any liberal legislature: relief for small and minority business and arts organizations. And so it's very specific of the areas that the money goes to, and that's a large allocation of money right there. So
picking winners and losers based on you'll just read the bill, just listen to the title, picking winners and losers on that. I wanted to mention one other thing though, and that was, and you mentioned it, the Low Income Energy Assistance Fund. I find that somewhat hypocritical when we have this legislature and this governor that has been doing everything they can, plus the bureaucrats at the, the Colorado Oil and Gas Commission, that they're doing everything to constrict and restrict the oil and gas industry here in Colorado, which then will make our energy, I love affordable, efficient, reliable, and responsible energy, which is what you get with the oil and gas industry. And so they're going to make our energy more expensive, and then they're going to come in and assist you in paying that bill. It's crazy.
The code, yeah. We in the government will create the problem, and we will then offer the solution. That's right.
But what about everyday hardworking people that want to make it on their own? That's the American idea, Mark. That's what built Colorado.
Absolutely. So I went into this 2 years ago, so I'm still in my freshman year, wrapping up. I got a month left in my freshman year, two-year term. And I went into it with in mind an old friend of mine named Carol, and I'll say her last name, but she just gets by. I've known her through church, and a lot of us have helped her out over the years. She had a very rough personal time, trying to get by. She's in good shape now, but I think of her all the time because she was always one trying to decide what can I compensate in our livelihood in order to afford that prom dress for my daughter and so on, sports equipment for my son. And every time that they come up with something that seems like a really nice idea, something really nice to do for people in need, I always think about Carolyn, and I talk about her on the House floor all the time. I said, so this is very nice that you're trying to do for these people, but you are going to charge Carolyn in order to fund your idea for being nice to someone and making their life better. But don't forget, you're taking money an inch at a time out of Carolyn's pocket, and she's barely getting by. And this is an African-American woman. I describe her to them, and they just look at me like, yeah, you got an extra eyeball on your forehead.
Yeah, I've found they say that they care, but they really like the power, and they like picking winners and losers. Mark, we're out of time. Very quickly, final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners.
Vote Republican. You know, I'll just say, here's the hopeful piece. There's a lot of legislation that's coming. The one thing that we can do to rise up against within the system now is the courts. Is everything that the governor doing now constitutional? No, it is not. Let's challenge in the courts and hope that our courts will respond the right way and curtail the overreach.
Mark Baisley, thanks for fighting the good fight. You have a good day.
Thank you, Kim.
And Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, thanks so much for being in studio.
My pleasure. It's always great to come in. I always learn so much being here.
I so appreciate you. And we're going into 2021.
That's right.
Okay. Our quote for today is from John Locke. He says, I've always thought the actions of men the best interpreters of their thoughts. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. But tell